We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Ivy Nation Sports Talk, up and rolling on a Wednesday. Glad to have you here. He's Jesse Stiers. I'm Sean Stiers. We'll be here. It's pretty much the Sean and Jesse week here on the show, the way things have turned out. Hey, Ryan Roberts just checking in right now. So, Joe, waiting on Jesse. No, we were actually having a little chat about baseball cards and NFTs in the back before we got going.
Everyone's favorite topic, baseball. Yes. I was telling you, Jackson Holliday making his MLB debut today. I bought his rookie card. I'm invested. It's pretty cool.
See, that's crazy. Like, nobody used to buy rookie cards before a guy even made his debut. You know, it's like you went back 2 years later and tried to find the rookie card because the guy had turned out to be that great. But
calling my shot.
I'm just old and gray and thinning and everything else. Thing on top anyway. Well, it's mailbag night, and we've got a ton of questions.
I was going to say, when questions. Vince and I are up on mailbag, it's like we're begging for questions. And now I come into this one, you already have 20 of them start.
Boom. We're ready to go here tonight. We've got all kinds of good stuff sitting by and ready to go, and I'm sure we'll get more before it's all over. I was looking through them, and there are some pretty good ones. So let me see. Let me find the first one that I wanted to talk about. There are a few good ones. Let's just start with DK's super chat. Thank you for the super chat to start us off here tonight, DK. Why is Mike?
We went over the format.
You're reading. I know. I'm antsy here tonight.
Mailbag. Why is Micah Gilbert, a.k.a. the greater one, I like that, the best freshman wide receiver to put on a Notre Dame jersey since Michael Floyd? I also like that comparison, the Michael Floyd comp.
Yeah, maybe not quite as big as Michael Floyd, but he's got a combination of twitch and some frame to him, which I like, and just kind of, you know, seeing him out there on the field and that explosiveness that he's got. That's what kind of you know, like you said, that Michael Floyd comp, the explosiveness, I think, is really where I see the comparison between those two guys. I mean, I know that, you know, DK is kind of taking at least a half shot, if not a three-quarter shot, at Salty on this one because of the great one. Those are some relatively big shoes sort of to follow Jaden Greathouse last year, because I think Greathouse was, you know, he was on his way to a really good freshman season if he hadn't gotten hurt.
Who had a more impactful freshman season, Jaden Greathouse or Jordan Faison?
Ooh, I think when it's all said and done, Faison did.
Just because of health?
Yeah. And just, yeah, like Faison, not literally necessarily, but just from a production standpoint. I mean, Faison got to make his debut because of, you know, Jaden Greathouse was injured and Jaden Thomas was injured. And that, like, that's why they put him in uniform. That's why they used him. That's why they ultimately, you know, when they did all those things, they had to give him the scholarship. I will say he had more impact down the stretch overall for the entire season compared to Greathouse. Greathouse, I think, you know, again, if he hadn't been injured, he was on his way to having huge impact, but unfortunate injury.
Yeah, so, you know, the Micah Gilbert question, I'm glad you went first because I've quite literally seen nothing of him, right? Like, you've got the opportunity to at least see him work in some individual drills. I think you guys have been to a full practice as well. But
you know, I missed that one. I was gone with women's. I think that was ACC tournament.
Okay.
But I'll get to see the full practice. We just got the details of the full practice that we get to see this Saturday. So,
yeah. So, like, you know, looking at Michael Floyd was like, I think like 6 foot three, four, around 225. Micah Gilbert's like 6'2 in that same range, about 205 right now. Like, I think Micah Gilbert, if he puts on just a little bit more muscle, like I do see him as someone with like the Michael Floyd potential because of the ability to go up and like high point a football. Michael Floyd, whenever you threw the ball, you felt like he always had a chance mm-hmm. to make a play on it, right? Like, I don't think Greathouse is that sort of wide receiver, and that's fine. Like, I don't see him as like a, again, like a body, like a Dez Bryant type wide receiver or a Davante Adams type wide receiver, you know, like big frame, you can throw up the ball and they're just going to go up and get it. I do think Micah Gilbert is more of that guy. And I think the way you have to look at it is how can someone like Micah Gilbert complement someone like Jaden Greathouse, because they are two different types of wide receivers. But I'm excited to see him. I've been missing that type of wide receiver at Notre Dame. Like, I want a big frame 50-50 guy where, you know, sometimes you just throw it up and say, let our guy win, you know?
I'm anxious to see if he fits in the rotation, where he fits in the rotation as a freshman, because, again, because of the veterans that they have, not quite as necessary as, you know, guys like Greathouse and Rico Flores last year. But I will be curious to see where he ends up on that depth chart and, you know, if he's able to kind of carve something out as a true freshman. Sean Kelly's got a wide receiver question as well, I see.
Will Bew, is that his name?
Bo
Collins be able to do summer workouts and go through training with the quarterbacks? Not sure on the rules for summertime.
Yes, he will be here this summer. He'll get here in June. Basically, this academic 2023-24 school year has to end so that he can begin officially working out with the team and doing all that stuff. So as soon as the spring semester is done, then he can start working out with the team. They'll begin their summer stuff in June and summer school in June, and he will be able to be full go out there with everybody else this summer. So that's good news.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What about this one from Andre?
Andre wants to know my feelings for Notre Dame football in 2024, our playoffs. Final four, do you believe that's too much to ask for?
What do you think about that one? Playoffs and final four. Not just getting to the playoffs, but final four. Is that too much to ask?
Is it 12 or 10 teams?
12. It's 12 this year. 12 this year and next year, and then it goes to 14 after that, 3 years from now.
So Notre Dame would, under that format, Notre Dame would have to win 2 games to make it down to the final four. Mm-hmm. I would say my expectations are make the playoffs and win a playoff game. I don't know how far down the line I am quite yet. Let me put it like this, though. If Riley Leonard is 100% healthy, doesn't have to miss any time, I would say that I think my ceiling would be a Final Four appearance. I think that with this offense – and the talent that's around, and Mike Denbrock's ability to, or I guess I should say the stuff that we've heard out of Mike Denbrock wanting to scheme guys open more, I think that has me really excited because I think Notre Dame does have the athletes to compete in space. I just think they need a dude at quarterback, and I don't think that's going to be Angeli or anyone other than Riley Leonard. Like a very healthy Riley Leonard, I think they can – They have a fighting chance with anyone because of how well their defense is. And I mean, that's assuming, again, that the defense doesn't take any step back, you know, a step back this season. But, yeah, I think a healthy Riley Leonard, I would say that a comfortable ceiling would be the Final Four.
I somewhat agree with that. Like, I think I agree more with what you're talking – because, you know, we don't know what the matchups are going to look like or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, and you know where Notre Dame's going to be seated, any of those kind of things. I would say making the playoffs and, you know, at least winning a first round playoff game, which gets you to 8. And I realize that'll disappoint some people because they'll go, oh, well, you know, you didn't even get to the to the semifinals, which is where you used to get when you got into the playoffs and those kind of things. So that won't make some people happy, but especially if you get a chance to host that first round playoff game, win that first round playoff game, hopefully get frigid, you know, Arctic temperatures at Notre Dame Stadium in December for that first round playoff game, and at least be in contention in that next round to potentially make it to the Final Four. That's where I would be. I would call that a successful season. Because this is a little bit of a transition season, but at the same time, there's a lot on the line this season. Like third year head coach Marcus Freeman, third year is where Notre Dame coaches have typically made their move. If they're going to make a move, you know, Lou Holtz, Brian Kelly, go on.
My thing is,
for that,
not only is this the biggest year, but this is the most talented roster and coaching lineup I think we've seen in the last 3 years as well. Like, all of the pieces have come together. I think Marcus Freeman has, in some ways, flushed out kind of the people that he inherited, or maybe some of the players that he inherited. Mm-hmm. And this is a more Marcus Freeman staff and roster, what he would prefer. And so I think you're going to start to see some of that. I think Marcus Freeman really has the guys that he wants at all levels.
And a good follow-up from Michael here as well. Is winning a playoff game in a 12-team format as big an accomplishment as a playoff win in the four-team format? No. Because in the four-team format, it's more selective. So by definition, that's a bigger accomplishment because you're already one of the Final Four team and you get to the championship game. But at the same time, you obviously can't, you know, like you can't get to a championship game if you don't win that first round game, you know? So it's not as big an accomplishment, but it is an accomplishment. And I still think that when you know, when we look at Notre Dame hasn't won a major bowl game since 94 and, you know, all those different things, the 30-year drought and all that stuff. I do think that winning a first round playoff game would be the equivalent of winning, you know, that you're playing competition that is similar to a New Year's Six Bowl right now. So it would be at least similar, you know, or on the same plane as that, like winning a New Year's Six type bowl.
Let me ask you this. Speaking of New Year's Six bowls and, you know, Notre Dame's struggle in said games, you know, last few decades. Did you know Chad Ochocinco played for that Oregon State team that beat Notre Dame?
I did. I was there.
I didn't know that. And yes. He just transferred. That was the only season he played at Oregon State because he came from like a junior college or something. Was there. The only reason I know this, I listened to a podcast with him recently and they were talking about, you know, how long were you in college for? And he was like, well, I only went, you know, played Division I football for 4 months. And then I ended up getting drafted because he went from JUCO to Oregon State to getting drafted. But I did not realize that he played on that Oregon State team.
He and TJ Houshmandzadeh were both on that team.
Really? I didn't know. Well, obviously I knew they were teammates on the Bengals, but I didn't know they were teammates on Oregon State as well.
Yes, they were.
You know, you learn something new every day. What year was that? I have an excuse. Like I was like,
that was the, let me think. I think that was the 2000 season. It would have been.
So yeah, I was like a whopping like 4 years old.
Exactly.
As we were on the cusp of moving to South Bend.
I was going to say, cause that was, I had just moved to South Bend and that was one of the, you know, first, you know, in addition to covering Notre Dame football home games, got to go to the Fiesta Bowl that year only to see him get waxed, unfortunately. But that was my first trip to Arizona, to the Fiesta Bowl, all those different kinds of things. So,
so you remember it very well.
It's a cool experience other than how it
getting
ended.
Destroyed.
Yes. Joe says he is jealous that the IB team gets to see the team before the rest of us. And honestly, if it's a scrimmage that, you know, the way it's been explained, then we're actually going to see a lot of really good stuff. Like, I think we're going to see more this Saturday potentially than we see in the blue gold game the following week. So definitely looking forward to that this Saturday at Notre Dame Stadium. Joe also wants to know, he's got a question for us.
Oh man, I like this game. You know what? I got like all of these right last year.
Did you?
You remember that? We did the captain's thing, and I think I got like all but one right.
Interesting. Okay.
I can't believe it. You never remember the stuff that I do well.
I remember Rocco Spindler. Are you going to read the question or not? Or like,
sorry. Mailbag, who would be your two early to pick team captains? I'm pulling up the depth chart right now.
I'm going
now.
Xavier Watts, Howard Cross.
Oh, okay.
On defense, I'm going, I don't know who to go with on offense because there's so much turnover over there. Like, would it be a Jaden Thomas potentially?
Nope.
I don't know. Like, I'll be curious to see if Riley Leonard ends up in that spot like Sam Hartman did last year.
I would have to go with Jack Kaiser.
Kaiser's another good one. Forgot about him.
And then offensively. And then Ashton Craig would probably be next, I think. I think you're going to have one offensive lineman. I think the center is the most
important. He's about as veteran as anybody else.
So I'm going to go. So I'm going to go with Ashton Craig.
Ashton Craig. Okay. I'm having a hard time on defense. Or not on defense, on offense. Ashton Craig is a nice, safe pick. I think I'll just stick with Jaden Thomas as one of my captains. Jesse is having some issues, apparently. DK trying to blame me for the curse of the Irish not winning a New Year's Six Bowl since I arrived. Remember, it predates me showing up because they lost another Fiesta Bowl when Lou Holtz was still the head coach. They lost to Colorado in the Fiesta Bowl. What was that, like 90?
Naomi, are you 95-ish? On the Wi-Fi?
Oh, boy.
I think we're having Wi-Fi issues.
Right? Oh, you're having issues, all right. You're having issues.
No. My Wi-Fi is good.
I mean, mine. I'm not seeing any issues at my end. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you just kind of keep locking up. Your screen keeps.
Well,
freezing.
For me, it's you locking up.
Oh. So we're at a dilemma.
Yeah. And I'm looking, and I'm showing full strength. We will let our viewers let us know.
I like the frame that you set out. It's definitely it's funny, Tommy Guns. I literally muted and I just screamed at her. I said, get off the Wi-Fi.
we heard that.
Oh,
we
you heard that?
Yes.
I thought I was muted.
Like, as it was sort of freezing up, we could hear you, get off the Wi-Fi!
Okay, so, sorry, this question has gone on a little long. I think I'm definitely going Riley Leonard. I'm definitely going with Ashton Craig. I like a veteran wide receiver. Defensively, I like Jack Kaiser. I like Howard Cross, and I like Xavier Watts. Yeah. That would be my six right there.
Yeah, Riley Mills could potentially find his way in there as well. We shall see. Salty's got a question for us.
Auburn is switching from Under Armour to Nike. Is Under Armour doing enough in new contract for Notre Dame to stick with them? I'd like to take this one on first because I saw this the other day and my initial reaction was essentially the same thing. If Auburn, probably one of the other, you know, top significant brands that Under Armour hosts, is leaving, shouldn't Notre Dame get more because now they have to basically do two for one work? You know what I mean? Like, they Under Armour should now be rewarding Notre Dame, in my opinion, for their loyalty and being the premier team. I mean, under
Notre
Under
Dame Armour. Is basically propping Under Armour
right
up right now.
I Under think, Armour is standing know,
in
on
terms
Notre
of
Dame
team sponsorships. Yeah. But to answer the question, I've seen a lot of people who are upset about this. Obviously, it's what, not even 1 year into the contract renewal with Under Armour. The contract isn't going anywhere. Like, a fair point that you're making, Jess, that if Auburn is out, should Notre Dame maybe get That's bumped up a little bit since they're losing so many high profile schools and Notre Dame is the most high profile of any of them. But I mean, the contract's not going anywhere. I'll just say that.
I like what Josh was saying here. I like Mitchell Effins too to be a captain if he's not hurt. I looked at him for a really hard second. I was deciding between That's him and one. Ashton Craig, honestly.
That's a good one. I like that. Everybody gets worked up about the Under Armour. Even after the contract is renewed, we're still talking about Under Armour a week later.
Josh wants to know, does Juju have to transfer to a Midwest or East Coast team to keep the viewers coming in and NCAA women's basketball? Can the women take over as the most watched basketball entertainment?
Even though she's not on an East Coast team, she's going to be playing in a Midwest conference. So she's going to be playing in this time zone, in Central and East Coast time zone, you know, much more than she would have if USC was still in the Pac-12. You know, she's going to be playing against Michigan. She's going to be playing against Iowa, whatever Iowa looks like now, Ohio State, Indiana, you know, these good schools in the Big Ten. So, plus they have the LA market. And I still think that's why she's kind of gotten the hype that she's got, even though most of us here haven't seen her to any extent. But I don't know if the women take over as the most watched basketball entertainment. I do think that they're going to get a spike. You know, they're going to get a spike in interest based on everything that we saw from this tournament, not just the Caitlin Clark games. And we'll get to that later in rapid fire as well. But I do think more people are going to, like, they drew in some casual fans, and I think a pretty good chunk of those casual fans are going to stick around now. And it's up to the younger players like Hannah Hidalgo, Juju Watkins. You know, you can throw Olivia Miles and this, you know, most of this Notre Dame team into the mix, I think, as well. You know, and if you want to include Paige Beckers, even though she's not young, but it's up to this other core to keep people interested with their level of play. And so I think that it actually can help women's basketball. I think USC women's basketball is going to get more exposure by the fact that they're going to be playing so many teams from the Midwest. I think that is going to help both her and potentially some continued interest in the overall women's basketball game. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that if there is anyone that has the potential to fill the Caitlin Clark shoes, it is Juju Watkins. And if she can be what Caitlin Clark was, I do think that the women's game can continue to kind of be, you know, surpass the men's game ultimately. So, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I just feel like as of recently, the women's game has been more pure basketball. It's been more enjoyable to watch. And so I just think that now the women's game needs to find a way to continuously pass the baton to the next star player. And I think that Juju Watkins is the next best person to pass the baton to. Just so young, the market she's from, you know, et cetera, the success that she had as a true freshman. I just really like that, you know, she would be the next person to kind of, again, maybe it's Hannah Hidalgo. You don't know, but someone's got to take the baton. I found a question here.
Well, let's do this one first. I just put it up on screen. Go ahead.
Sean wants to know, with Rocco practicing at left guard, buy or sell him starting at Kyle Field?
AKA this is a good question. Then I saw this A&M when I was stadium. Yep. Down at Texas A&M. I'm going to buy this. Even though Coogan started all last year, I think Shrouth is going to be the right guard. And I think that ultimately, I think that we'll get a better snapshot depending on how much they let Rocco Spindler do in this, you know, scrimmage this weekend and in the blue gold game as well. But I just have a feeling the way things are shaking out. Last spring, the line that we saw at the end of the spring was not the line that we saw take the field to start the season. And so I think that they are rewarding the guys who they think are fully capable of going out there and getting the job done. And it's not that they don't think that Coogan can, but I think ultimately Spindler is going to end up being the guy. So I'll buy it.
I'm buying it too. I'm going to be for a much shorter reasoning than you. I just think, I think Spindler's the toughest dude on that offensive line. I think he's willing to put his head through a wall if he has to. No, I'm serious. Like I genuinely think that like he is just, and for a position that requires so much play after play aggression and domination, like that, he looks forward to that. You know what I mean? Like that's, he's one of those guys who just gets fired up after like any contact. Like he's the guy who would headbutt you with no helmet on to get fired up. You know what I mean? I just feel like he's just that intense, and that's the kind of guy that I want on the offensive line, even if he's got some deficiencies here and there, because I think he's going to give you his maximum effort every play.
Well said. All right, so what do you got? You said you wanted to throw something up there.
Yeah, let me find it. It's another good question from Sean. He actually had a bunch. I hope we can get to all of them. Mailbag, will Riley Leonard be allowed to change the play at the line based on what he sees, or is it only simple checks like change which side of the line the run will go to? I'll start with this one. I mean, I don't 100% know, but I would assume that Riley Leonard would have the ability based on box count. I wouldn't even say change the play. I think Mike Denbrock will have an offense that comes to the line of scrimmage with basically two plays in mind, and depending on what they see at a box count, that's what they're going to run. So that's where I think I would be most comfortable, you know, answering this question.
I would think so as well. When you listen to Mike Denbrock talk about how they want to use their personnel to take advantage of the defense and cause mismatches and it all, you know, make plays in space and doing all these different things. And they have a veteran quarterback who is obviously in his fourth year playing college football. And as we heard from him yesterday, the offense that he's going to be in with Mike Denbrock is not that dissimilar from what he was running at Duke. So it's something that he's very used to. And, you know, again, this is something that we won't know until we get there. But one thing to remember is they're also going to have this year, assuming it gets passed, I think it might be tomorrow that they're doing the final vote on this. The earpiece and the headset is supposed to go through. They've actually been practicing with the earpieces this spring to get used to that. So that is something that can also, even if it's not Riley Leonard, depending on when they get to the line of scrimmage and how quickly they see things, that is something that can also be called from, you know, the sideline or the press box or whatever it happens to be, as Jesse continues to battle with his Wi-Fi issues.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Matthew Kettner asks, are we in trouble long-term when it comes to edge rushers? And other than RJ Oben this season, who will be the one, who will be on the edge opposite him, and will that edge rusher carry over to next season? So before I address that, I would just say, Jesse, you might look into the portable T-Mobile tower. Like I've got.
I never have issues. I have extremely high speed internet.
You haven't had issues lately. There was kind of a run there where at the start of the show you were having issues like every night. But
like I run so many, like I have a VPN for work at the, on this computer. I run so many softwares a day and I never have issues. But as soon as I pull up StreamYard, I begin to have issues. There must be like a squirrel in the backyard chewing on a wire or something.
Something. All right, so we're talking about edge rushers now. He wants to know who the edge rusher is going to be opposite of RJ Oben. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Botello this year. From what we've heard, Botello is having a good spring. And, you know, and I know that that's not going to make a lot of people happy, but what the other options are right now, you know, this is an issue that they've got, you know, like some of these young guys have to start stepping up, and that and a combination of the recruiting needs to continue to get better there on the edge, you know, and I've, you know, kind of seen the Al Washington recruiting rumblings and stuff like that lately. It's got to be addressed. That's the thing, you know, like you can develop the guys, but you got to get those guys in there that are going to be big time. There's a lot on Jordan Botello this year, but at the same time, the kind of athletes they're going to have in some other spots around him, just like last year. And I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and the fact that you have guys like Riley Leonard and Howard Cross inside. And then like Jason Onye was talking a couple of weeks ago when we got to talk to defensive linemen with his kind of quicker twitch body, that like in third down passing situations, Onye would come in as a pass rush type nose guard as well. So they're going to get pass rush from different places, just like they did last year. But there's no doubt that those guys do need to step up. There's no doubt about that. You know, like you need to, we need to start seeing, you know, like Burnham is going to be, I think, more on the Oben side. So like what he can contribute along with RJ Oben, you know, slash behind RJ Oben. And then what they get from that other Viper. Part of the Viper thing, too, is you got to remember, it's like it's not just a pass rush position. Why am I getting tongue-tied tonight? It's not just a pass rush position. That guy also drops into coverage, so that takes away from some sack opportunities, those kind of things, like the athleticism that those guys have to have.
Yeah, I'm not going to
shake your head when I was talking about Botello earlier.
Yeah, I'm trying to selectively use words here. I am not able.
That's a good way to do it. Selectively use your words.
I am not a Botello fan.
This is fair, Michael. I forgot about Bryce Young because we've only seen little bits of him so far. But he's a guy coming. He's coming for sure. So that's a good.
I don't think the defensive end position is a problem at all. I think the Viper is something to be concerned about. And I'm beyond the Jordan Botello experiment. He's had plenty of opportunities, in my opinion. I think it's time to go to Bobakar. I think it's time to go to Bryce Young. I think it's time to go to Junior Tuialamaka. But this would go against everything I say, because I grip on people who constantly say, you know, oh, well, if this quarterback isn't doing X, Y, Z, then the guy behind him has to be better, right? And so these coaches are at practice every day. They think Batello is the best. I need to see something. I'm just so tired of it. There's just no production there. There's no consistent production there. And I think the thing that gets me the most is I just don't know if Jordan Batello wants it as bad as everyone else does. He just looks like a guy half the time who doesn't necessarily care if he's performing how he's supposed to be. And again, maybe that's me in the heat of the moment, but I'm not a fan of him, and I want to try something else.
He reminds me a little bit of Chase Claypool.
Like, yeah, that's a good comparison. Uber talented.
Chase Claypool got himself to the NFL because he was such a great athlete and was so talented, but the details, you know, like the, you know, when we hear coaches talk about details, consistency, all those different things, what Brian Kelly used to say, traits. I mean, Chase Claypool got by on pure ability, and then he got to the NFL, and you can't get by on just pure ability anymore because everyone in the NFL has a high level of ability. It's all those little things that set you apart and give you a long career. And right now, obviously, Jordan Batello is not even close to that. He hasn't gotten by enough on ability, and that's what he's got to do. He's got to start showing why he was brought here to begin with, because we've seen it in flashes in practice, and we've even seen it in flashes in a handful of games. We got to see it heck of a lot more consistently than what we've seen on Saturdays so far.
I love this comment right here.
Yeah. Jason says, if you could fit a Heinisch motor into Jordan, he could be really good. How many, you know, like those kind of conundrums do you see like all the time? It's like, if I could take this guy's ability and put it with this guy's desire, you'd have a great player.
Yeah, that's true.
Unfortunately, you know, you can't make Frankenstein's monster on the football field or the baseball field or basketball or whatever it happens to be. Didn't Jordan win MVP in the bowl game for best defensive player? He did, but I brought this up a few times.
Where was that the rest of the season? He gives us this inkling right at the end.
That's the flash. That's the flash right there. But as I've said, when we've talked about Steve Angeli before, when people want to say, well, look what he did in the Sun Bowl when he went 15 out of 19 and threw three touchdowns. Okay, well, look at what Jordan Batello did in the Gator Bowl the year before that. We haven't seen that Jordan Batello since. So just because you flash, even in a bowl game, that doesn't mean that that's the guy that you're going to see game in and game out afterwards.
And this is what I was getting at, Jason. I just don't know how bad he wants it on a day in and day out basis. Does he want it enough? Does he want to be great every single day? So that's where I get a little bit frustrated. Ooh, I found another one that I liked here.
Okay.
A quick diverge.
True or false, will the Indians win the Central, Jesse?
I mean, it's going to be – the White Sox are going to be bad. The Royals will have Bobby Witt Jr. and Cole Ragan. So
basically, it's the Twins
and the Guards.
Is this a trick question because Tommy, you know, put Indians up there?
A week ago, I felt really good about this. But Shane Bieber is out. That's a guy that potentially – you know, that's their ace, a guy who was going to be, you know, Cy Young. I wonder about their starting pitching depth. I think they have a really good bullpen. Obviously they still have Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor, you know, Stephen Kwan, Andre Jimenez. Like, those are gold glove, really good, consistent batters in your lineup. A couple young guys. I mean, it's just going to be the same old, the Twins and the Guards are going to come down to the last week of the season, and one of those two teams is going to win the game or win the division by a game or two. So I just don't know if the Guards have the starting pitching to keep up.
Here's one from Salty.
Riley Leonard is active to a degree in spring practice. Should he have any reps in the blue gold game?
No.
I'm going to say no as well. There's nothing to gain by having him get any reps.
Correct. Then
there's a lot to lose.
He did some 7-on-7 at practice yesterday. Gino Gadulli was talking about that, the quarterback's coach. He did some 7-on-7 stuff. So that's as close as he has come to anything live, I think. I am interested to see what exactly they have him doing this Saturday. Speaking of which,
if Freeman gave the ability, how would Stiers organize one full practice that's entirely available to the media?
Scrimmage. It's predominantly what I hope we're going to see this Saturday. Scrimmage, live stuff. See what guys do when the bullets are flying. Ones versus ones, twos versus twos. Like that's what I want to see. I want to see who's able to hold up when it's an actual live situation. As much live stuff as possible. That's how you evaluate people.
I'll give you a better practice breakdown than this. I would start with five periods of competitive periods. I want DBs or I want linebackers on running backs working drills. I want DBs on wide receivers working drills, and I want offensive linemen on defensive linemen working drills. Just that's to get the juices going. That's just to get everyone warmed up.
And we do see a lot of that typically, you know, like at the beginning of a practice when that's a good way to start, actually. And that's something that Marcus Freeman has done, is, you know, tried to bring in more competitive periods in practice. But even, you know, like if it's not necessarily 11 on 11 or 7 versus 7, but you've got quarterbacks throwing to wide receivers who are defended by cornerbacks. Like that's a good competitive
period. Or the one I loved was in me being a linebacker, we would work moves on the running backs as they're trying to pass block, like they would be protecting a quarterback. So we're working our moves trying to win. Running backs are trying to block us, you know, assuming that it's a pass block or picking up a blitz. Those were always fun. From there, I would move on to inside run competitive. So you have defensive line and linebackers, and then you have offensive line and running backs. So inside run, no passes at all, only work run. Another competitive, probably five periods or so. From there, I do five periods of competitive 7-on-7. And then from there, the rest of practice, I do a full team scrimmage and call it a day. Competitive period after period. I think that would be great. Because it'd be so cool to see just the progression. You start in individuals, you move to inside run, you move to 7-on-7, and then you're full team. But it's all competitive.
Great plan. I love it. Very detailed. I mean, you broke it out right away.
Here's a good one. I have to know. Mailbag, it's Masters week. How much will you watch?
Virtually none.
I will watch Thursday and Friday because I can put it on the computer while I'm working. Yeah. Saturday, Sunday will be a lot harder because I have more going on. But I will definitely watch the first two rounds.
I was thinking about going to watch some paint dry. And I think that might be a good occupation of my time. So
I see.
Yes. That's, you know, you grew up in this house. You know where it's at. Like,
not golf.
No, it is not golf. Salty has a good draft question.
Which Notre Dame players will be drafted in the first three rounds of the NFL draft? Definitely Joe Alt, maybe Audric Estime.
I'm really curious to see where Audric Estime goes. Dane Brugler, do you have an athletic subscription?
I use yours.
Okay. Have you looked at it today? No. Dane Brugler, the Athletic's well-renowned draft analyst, just released his annual project that is known as The Beast. It is a breakdown of, I don't even know how many players at each position and how many total. It's well over, I think it's pushing 300 pages, but he has detailed breakdowns of all these players in the draft. And so I was looking at it today. He has Fisher, Hart, and Estime all projected like third, fourth round type guys. So, I mean, we know Alt is a lock to go in the top 10. I'm just not sure where those, like, I read the breakdown, and I'll have some of it on tomorrow's show because I, you know, like for the mailbag today, you know, I wasn't, but we'll talk about some of it on tomorrow's show. But I wasn't overly hyped about the kind of stuff that he was saying about Fisher, but it's the kind of stuff that we've talked about. Balance, you know, like strong guy, but like balance is going to be a big thing for him. And he's looking at Fisher as a developmental type guy, which, you know, again, as I've said, is a reason that Fisher should have come back for one more year at Notre Dame, because I felt like he had a lot to clean up if he wanted to be higher than just a third round guy. So I think all four of those guys could potentially end up the third. I'll say Alt for sure. Estime is the seventh rated running back on Brugler's list. So I'll say he goes by the time the end of the third round is up. So I'll say three end up going in the first three rounds.
One
what?
Joe Alt. That's it.
In the first three rounds?
Yep.
Okay. I thought you already gave your answer and it was higher than that.
Before. No, I said maybe Audric, definitely Joe Alt. But this just isn't a heavy loaded running back class with a lot of talent. So Audric being that low and in my opinion, not a very talented class, I don't see that boding well for him to go in the top three rounds. How many guys do you think get drafted overall?
For Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Let's see. Four. I'll say five.
Alt, Estime.
The guys we just talked about. Alt, Hart, Estime, Hart, Fisher.
Maris?
Bertrand. Maris or Bertrand. I can't decide.
So you think Sam seems Hartman
like,
is
seems like teams have a pretty high estimation of Maris, though.
I agree because of what we've talked about.
To the linebackers. I need to get to the linebackers and see exactly where those guys come in.
He has skills that translate well to the NFL. So you think – I'm going to go – I think six guys get drafted. I think Bertrand and Maris both get drafted. I think Hart, Estime get drafted. And I think Alt get drafted. I don't think Sam Hartman is going to get drafted, but he'll end up on a roster somewhere.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think he's going to get drafted either. I think he's going to be an undrafted free agent.